Yeah.
And the Saddle Up Saloon.
Yep, every the Saddle Up Saloon.
Wait, so that's what the new place is called?
Yeah, yes.
It kills me.
Honestly, I love that.
Bro, I was expecting a bunch of cowboy hats, and I was sorely disappointed when I didn't see a single one.
I'll bring mine then.
Armando didn't even wear his cowboy hat.
I know,
hat.
And he wears them normally.
Yeah.
I got to buy a 10-gallon.
Nick Dimmadameron, owner of the Damsdale.
Damsdale Dammerdome.
Dammerdome.
But yeah, it's pretty sad. It was a...
That is so sad.
Yeah. And part of it, I kind of feel... So my paranoid brain often likes to make things my fault, even when they aren't. And I feel like Smith's Closing is my fault, because the last time I lived next to a venue, it also got shut down.
Quit gaslighting yourself.
That venue was RJ's. I lived next to RJ's, and then that closed. Then I moved to Mishawaka next to Smith's, and then it closed
down.
It's
not your fault. I blame myself for things all the time. It's okay.
You just pulled a... Goodwill Hunting. It's not your fault.
It's not your fault, man.
Nah, man. Don't do this.
Don't do this, man.
No, don't.
It's not your fault.
Not your fault.
It's not your fault. So, listener, you may have wondered why Nick wasn't on the episode last week with our guest Lysergic, who were a lot of fun. And Nick, would you like to tell him why you missed?
You don't have to if you don't want to, but I kind of want to hear this.
I tried to wean myself off milk. By drinking an entire gallon of milk in an hour.
Do you hear how stupid that is?
So instead of cold turkeying, you went the opposite way.
Yeah,
said,
he tried
gonna...
to overdose to get over it. To wean himself off, he overdosed.
Were you trying to do something to get sick of it? Or
yeah.
You were...
Because like, okay. Like,
so you like tried to brainwash yourself.
Here's my logic. This is where I came from. I used to love spaghetti. And then like in the first grade, I ate so much spaghetti. I threw up all night, and now I don't like spaghetti that much. Like, I'll eat it now, but for a while, I didn't even want to look at it.
Yeah.
Your logic is to literally incite trauma.
I was going to say trauma.
So you don't want it anymore. Yes. I mean, it's
Are you that addicted to milk?
Well, I drink too much milk. I did.
What? How much is too much?
I drink milk all the time.
Well, have
Lots
you had it since
do.
That incident?
No.
Well, then you're cured.
No, okay, but like what happened? I did the gallon thing because I know like your body can actually only hold half a gallon of milk.
Yeah.
Before it starts to reject it.
He told me this last night and he was like, oh, I tried to drink a gallon of milk. I was like, do you not remember the
milk
challenge?
I did
not
try. I did it.
You were disqualified because you did not retain said milk.
Maybe people should just start like eating a gallon's worth of cigarettes.
Ew.
And then, yeah, and then that way.
What's a gallon of cigarettes look like?
Just a gallon jug full of cigarettes.
Like full cigarettes or like cigarette butts?
I don't know.
Half smoked cigarettes.
I didn't plan this through.
So there's still
cigarettes. It was just a dumb joke.
Anyways, yeah.
It's not even that funny.
It's disgusting. This
I
is
drank the milk. I felt fine. Then, so I'm driving to the studio. And I go around the Napanee, around the roundabout, on the 15, and I'm like, uh-oh. And so I pull over, I start throwing up.
Milk.
I get someone, and it was cold, too.
That's good.
And see,
no,
okay,
it's not
so
good,
listen,
Adam.
That,
still fresh.
That right there is how I knew I had caught him in something, because initially he told me that he had drank milk, and then on the way here he had gotten sick. And then last night he was like, oh yeah, but it was cold, and I was like, "That tells me it happened immediately because you don't puke up cold things unless it's an instant reaction."
No, I finished
your
it.
Your body
like,
heats it up.
I finished it right before I left. And I got some.
I'm sad now.
I'm like, Chris, I'm sick.
I made
can't
a
do
huge
this.
Scene last night at the show after he told me this. If anybody was around to see my reaction to this revelation, I would love to hear what you
Sorry,
saw.
Sorry, Lysergic.
it's all right.
You guys were fun last night.
Yeah, they were. Well, I can't say that because I got there late and I missed their set. But I heard good things.
Did you still say nice set, bro?
No, I didn't.
Tradition.
They were like, hey, did you see our set? And I was like, bro, I just got here. I'm so sorry.
No, you're supposed to go, nice set, dude, even though you didn't see it.
I'm too honest for that. I can't be like, oh, nice set. Because then what's the chance of someone like, oh, yeah, Chris got here.
Then
like
you're not a real member of the scene.
Welcome to the Tune Junkies podcast. It's in the zone, auto zone. My name's Nick.
My name is Chris.
My name is Adam.
Oh, yeah, you do that.
Oh, that's not a thing?
No,
I always just followed suit.
Today we're here with Adam. Adam.
With Adam.
Adam the Araki.
The first human.
How's it going, man?
Good. Lots been going on, you know, with the world. But yeah. I'm just breathing in it.
That's right.
Trying not to breathe in COVID. But spoiler alert, I did.
Me too.
But that was
me
back
too.
In, yeah, that was back in like end of February.
Yeah, I think I had it in like late October, early November.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm pretty upset because I remember how I said it would like decrease your lung capacity. Mm-hmm. It absolutely did that to me.
Did it?
Like, yeah. I mean, I already had asthma to begin with, but
yeah. Jesus.
I like wheeze normally.
I like how you said I have asthma normally, and he just took a huge breath.
Well, yeah, I had to. It's not clean intake anymore. It's just kind of like, I don't know.
Like vacuums, labored. You can just like empty out the shit. No, not with bodies.
I would love to get new lungs, but that often doesn't work. Your body often rejects foreign lungs. My symptoms were non-existent. I was just like, oh, I'm a little more wheezy than normal.
Yeah, you're just like, Carl Weezer.
Yeah.
Jimmy's mom. Like how that's where we went. Croissant.
Have you ever seen Carl Weezer covers Weezer?
Yes.
Yes.
I saw a TikTok of some kid blasting that through his house and his mom getting very
Why do you
angry.
Watch this weird shit?
Those are awesome. There's so many of those, just like people pissing their parents off.
Mm-hmm. And I love it.
That's so funny.
I love it. It's totally worth, if you get grounded for it, it's worth it. Yeah. We all appreciate you taking
yeah,
the sac-
You'll probably
making
become
the sacrifice.
Famous for it.
Yeah. Absolutely. What's
up? Fuck them parents.
The old Vine was like, the kid walking, what's up, motherfuckers?
Yeah, he goes, you guys want to see how I enter my house? And he goes, what's up, fuckers? Yeah. Why do you have my phone?
Fuck you, that's why.
I think I remember that.
Vine walked so that TikTok could fly.
That's,
no,
that
TikTok
is
flying, dude.
Oh, dude, you got over a million likes.
On
yeah, what's it like to be TikTok famous?
Yeah.
First of all, I'm like a D-list celebrity at best.
But
I'm a D-minus.
Bro, you're
TikTok
graded.
Celebrity.
You're graded, though.
I am graded.
You're graded.
Yeah. 69%.
A lot of us aren't.
So a lot's been going on since the last time we had you on, which was almost 2 years ago.
Mm, that's right.
It was it?
It's been a hot minute.
Oh, my God. I don't
Red
like
Hot
that.
Chili Peppers.
Last time you were on the show, you interviewed us when you were still part of Lizards.
That. Lizards, now Death Tax.
Mm-hmm. Now Death Tax. Green Day. The network, it's just Green Day in mass.
I recently just found out what the network was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't even know they had another band called The Network.
Most people don't, I don't think. I don't know that The Network's that popular, but I'm also not a big Green Day stan either, so.
I was going to say, if you're a Green Day stan.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. And he is. But yeah.
You see that one thing I sent to the Hooligans group chat about that one quote from Spider-Man 2 when he goes, punch me, I bleed. And it's talking about, like, this makes no goddamn sense.
Punch me, I bleed.
There's a lot of things
that.
In those movies that are questionable, but we all accepted them because times were different in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
We were all recovering from a very traumatic event, okay? We let a lot of things slide.
Yeah.
One of my...
It's thanks to 9/11 that the Spider-Man trilogy was critically praised.
One of my most sought-after posters is, like, an original Spider-Man poster.
Mm-hmm.
For the first Tobey Maguire one where you can see the Twin Towers in the reflection of his eyes. Like, I want, like, a vintage one.
Oh, shit.
Because those exist.
Mm-hmm.
But they're hard to come by.
I'm sure they are.
Burned most of them.
But then they, as soon as 9/11 happened, they got rid of those.
Yeah.
I wonder why, though.
Right?
Afterwards, that would be even better. Mm-hmm. Like,
Everyone was scared of what would and would not really...
Well, that's why
fit.
They added the scene near the end where all the New Yorkers starts throwing shit at Green Goblin.
Yeah.
Like, you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. It's supposed to, like, represent, like, unity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For New York.
I never knew that was happening.
One guy goes, I got something for your ass.
Take that, Al-Qaeda.
I forget who made this joke, but there's a chance that it won't be well-received, but...
Go for it.
America needs a new 9/11 to bring us together.
Because nothing
brought America together faster than 9/11. Everyone was pro-America. Everyone. We're like, no, no. And it just because that scene exactly. You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. Right now, we're very divided.
What was the tweet I saw? Someone like retweeted, I think George Bush is on Twitter or something. Or no, it was a news article that said like George Bush, and then it said in quotes, "Big plans for the anniversary." Yeah. And then someone just goes, "Oh no, not again!"
Did you ever see that video of they're interviewing George Bush shortly after 9/11, and he was out golfing, and he's like, "Yeah, we're gonna do everything that we can to catch them." And he goes, "Now watch this drive."
That was shortly after 9/11.
It had to have been. I hope so.
I hope it's not. But it makes it drive. Now watch this drive.
Yeah, no, I remember that. I saw that as a kid. Fuck.
We're really starting the show out with like a bummy topic.
But we're having fun.
Yeah, COVID and 9/11 back to
back. Hey, but also Spider-Man.
Yeah. Tobey Maguire.
So anyways, man, what's been up? Let's talk about your solo stuff.
Yeah.
Well, actually, let's talk about your departure from Lizards first.
Okay.
And what came about of that?
That was back in about, what, November, December. I had the EP released, and then we all kind of got together, talked about the name change, and then shortly after, we let Matt, one of the previous drummers, go. And I know Joey already talked about this on a previous episode. I listened to that episode. It was really fucking funny.
Thank you.
But yeah, and I think it just got to a point where I realized I wasn't putting my 100% all into this.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured once I finally admitted that to myself, I was not going to continue to lie to my friends, especially Joey, about like my commitment to this band. You know, that would be me doing a huge disservice and not being an honest friend to one of my best friends in the whole wide world. So,
and that's like a really hard conversation to have because
so hard. I mean, like
you're basically saying, "Hey, like this thing that makes me happy, it's like it's not doing it anymore." And it's nothing against anyone here. It's just like it's not fitting the puzzle piece anymore. Like
But like it wasn't only that. It was like how much we'd been through too. Just because like. I mean, we've been at this point in 3.5-ish bands together. I say half because one started for like a week. But like, and we lived with each other and we just.
In our haunted house?
Yeah, in our haunted house. And we were just attached at the hip to each other, you know? And I think that's what made it even harder.
Yeah.
You know? But like, I think I really needed to like for once kind of be on my own and kind of find myself as well. And I think I'm really starting to do that, especially this year.
That's oftentimes I always am an advocate for that move. More oftentimes than not, you grow from it. And you may come back to that thing after you've, you know, grown or matured or whatever it is that needs to happen to you happens, but it's always beneficial for sure.
Yeah, and I had already lived on my own before I'd quit Lizards for a little bit because Joey and his partner Lacey moved out back in April of 2020 just when the Panini was starting, and then
the Panini
and
now I'm hungry, thanks.
The Panda Express, that doesn't make it better anyway. So I'd already been like living on my own, and then I realized, guy, if I'm gonna live on my own, I don't want to do it here in this house. And so I moved out of Auburn and moved to Fort Wayne, and actually live like, it's funny, I didn't mean for this to happen, but I live like 3 minutes from Joey. Like I could walk to his house probably.
Destined to stay relatively close.
Yeah. Got my binoculars on that guy.
We are detached, but I've still got my eyes on you, motherfucker.
Yeah. He got a little flashlight and you just kind of click it on and off. And then he does the same.
Doing Morse code to each other from down
the
street.
We fire off flares. But yeah, I also just got a new roommate, actually.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Maggie, she's fucking wonderful. I met her over the pandemic.
Is she a musician of any sort?
No, she's not. She's actually a teacher.
A teacher?
She's an English teacher. She teaches English and special ed at Southside High School in Fort Wayne.
Ooh.
Southside?
Yes.
That sounds like a really difficult job. Just being a teacher in general is hard, but...
Yeah, Southside has a reputation.
Yeah.
I think, but like honestly, like she loves all of her students, and I mean, she just seems so passionate about it.
Are they going to make a movie about her?
I'll make the movie about her. And I'll make her star in it. Because Maggie's a fucking star.
You remember the episode of Family Guy where Brian was the teacher? The substitute teacher for like that one class full of degenerates. Yeah. He's like, ah, damn, be the best damn hooker you can be.
Yeah. And see, that's the classic like movie trope that I'm talking about. It's like a teacher, normally a white teacher, goes to an inner city school to rehabilitate these bad students. It's we get it, okay?
Oh, and those cheesy ass movies.
Yeah, the white savior complex, we get it.
The Blind Side type.
Yeah.
God, yeah. I remember watching The Blind Side again and I was like, man, this is kind of weird.
Bro, I watched that movie when it came out on Christmas Day. I went with my family. I mean, I love Sandy Bullock's, but
I saw it shortly after it came out DVD, and like at the time I was like, yeah, this is fine, but now I'm like, wait a minute, this I don't know. Something.
This feels kind of weird.
Yeah, like
it
feels
wrong.
there's a good inspirational aspect for like the football player, but then they definitely made like, oh, look at these rich white folks who helped save this person.
Almost seems more about them.
Exactly.
Yeah, and
they kind of made them the heroes.
I don't know these real life people personally, but like it just seemed like one of those instances where the movie definitely wanted to focus on like, look how she sticks up for her, you know, her
adopted son
in front of her other white friends who are just making these weird fucking comments. I don't even remember what they said exactly. It's been so long since I've seen that movie. But I just remember a specific scene where she has to defend his race because
of some football game or something
very racist comments some of her friends were making.
It's a cool story because it's like a real story, but I feel like Hollywood probably dazzled certain parts that didn't need to be, you know,
it was like that war movie. What was that war movie with Mark Wahlberg?
War movie with Mark Wahlberg?
What was it?
Oh,
Survivor.
Lone Survivor.
Oh, yeah. Is that that's about? Wait, is that that Chris Kyle movie?
No, that's American Sniper. I got a lot to say about that movie. Yeah,
everyone does.
Yeah.
But now the Lone Survivor, like, you know that scene in Tropic Thunder where Ben Stiller dies for like 10 minutes as they're filming the movie. And like there's bullet holes like for like 10 minutes flying out of him. There's literally a scene like that in Lone Survivor. And I just like, man, like these are real people. Like, is that like, there's like, and it's just this, it's somehow such a beautiful shot. And I'm like, did it really look that pretty when someone died?
Like, no, it doesn't look like that in real life. When somebody gets murdered, no, it's not pretty.
Hey, what about Platoon, though? Willem Dafoe? That does the same thing. I think that's what they all base it on.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie, but I think I know what you're talking about.
It's I don't know, it's kind of like, cinematically I feel like it's, you know, nice to watch, but imagine being the person on those sidelines watching your friend that happened to your friend. Like, I'm sure they love to see that on the big screen.
Yeah, that's why like when I like that's more so why it kind of makes me like, I don't know if I can finish this. I just feel like someone else is watching this and going, well, that's not how it looks.
And also, think about it, because they usually show those scenes in slow motion.
Yeah.
So to film it, you just got to just shake it like you were.
Or even worse, they have to do it in slow motion.
They got to use this little number.
A shimmy. A straight up
shimmy. They basically shimmy. They shimmy until they die.
What was your inspiration to essentially, I'm going to say it anyway. Basically, take a 180 on the genre of music that you created.
I mean, yeah, I've listened to many styles of music growing up, but I mean, metal was the one that I got into first. But you know, as I kind of my college and post-college years, I got into a lot of different things. Like, I just wanted to start listening to everything, and I just, like, you know, to kind of go back to like being in Lizards, I didn't really feel like part of me not giving my effort was like, I didn't feel like I had anything new to kind of bring to that specific genre.
No contribution.
You know,
like you felt stuck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just felt stuck creatively. And like, I'd written a bunch of clean riffs before. I mean, like, for years, like, I have them recorded on my phone. And like, even when I was in Empty, like, I still had a bunch of like softer stuff. I mean, it really like bled into You're Letting the Light In when that was a band. Mm-hmm. Like, that was all about making these clean riffs, you know, but they were just mixed with like these heavy choruses and shit.
Right.
But yeah, so I mean, I had been writing stuff like that for years, but I think I was just kind of afraid to do it on my own, maybe, mm-hmm. and maybe just felt like, I don't know. I think part of it has to do with me just being closeted. Like, I didn't feel safe doing anything on my own. You know?
Is this your first venture into a solo thing? Like, you've always been in a
yes.
band.
Yes.
Okay. So that would be.
Yeah. I've never led anything mm-hmm. in my life, and now I'm just kind of doing it on my own.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I think I just needed that change. But, yeah, I just, this is where I feel inspired to write so much right now. Like, mm-hmm. I just, as soon as I, like, released that EP, and as soon as I started writing for that first EP, Sawyer, I couldn't stop, and I still can't stop writing new riffs for this stuff. But, like, also, like, I'm incorporating a lot of, like, MIDI and, like, weird electronic noises mm-hmm. into it. Like, my live shows are probably definitely going to need a backing track of some sort, mm-hmm. which I'm kind of in the early stages of trying to get that shit together so I can play live shows later in the year here with that.
Good. I would love... I can't wait to see you perform live.
Dude, me either. Been a long time.
I didn't know that was going to be an option. I'm super stoked now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know why I thought that.
Well, I mean, let's... A lot of time, well, how do I want to say this? I think a lot of people don't think of the performance aspect of it, just
yeah.
because I think most people see it as like super intimidating to get out there by yourself.
Yeah, which I, to be fair, like I do want
to
a live.
Fair.
To be fair,
I do want a live drummer of sorts, and mm-hmm. Caleb from We Love You, who's been recording all of my stuff, mm-hmm. And mixing it and mastering it. He's done a fucking terrific job with all that. You know, he's offered to drum with me live for a while now, and mm-hmm. so I'm just, once I get a concrete show booked, I'll just basically like ask him, like, do you want to play with this show or not? Mm-hmm. And I mean, if not, I'll just figure it out, you know.
That would alleviate some of the what I would suspect, like the nerves, is like at least there's somebody
yeah,
else
and
out
I mean,
there
like,
with you.
You know, part of the live element is you want to see live musicians, you mm-hmm. know, not just one person.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't want that to be the ideal, way that I play all of this stuff. But, you know, I think some points it's going to have to happen. And especially if I start to play out of state more and shit like that, but that's mm-hmm. like later down the road. Did I even answer your question directly? What like inspired me mm-hmm. to like, right?
No,
I feel
good.
Like I just went on a tangent.
You're good.
I forgot that.
Let's,
was the
I answered that like a politician.
He's like, here's the answer. He just went around it, distract them. But
I did notice that you just started with, we're going to stop Al-Qaeda.
On your point.
Watch
of,
this drive.
On your on your point of like live drummer, I think doing it by yourself, like it's way more intimate. Like it kind of almost shapes the template of the show. Like you almost don't even get the freedom to have the show be whatever it could be, because I think the solo dolo, to quote Kid Cudi, I think it makes it super intimate. Whereas at least if there's like a duo. Mm-hmm. There's a little more range.
I understand where that's coming from. I mean, like, I'm not even using like a stage name or anything like that. Like, it's just my fucking name. So like,
it'd be a double.
The way you said that, you were like, my fucking name. But yeah, let's venture back to the question that you dodged, sir.
So say the question again, because I kind of answered it with, I felt more inspired writing the stuff I've written right now.
Mm-hmm. Which essentially is an appropriate answer. Mm-hmm. And with that, why do you think that is? I mean, I know we touched on the fact that you felt a little stuck, a little stagnant in the Lizards, but what is it about this genre that opened the floodgates?
I think a big part of it for me is... the fact that I've never really written a lot of lyrics,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was always like Lizards or Death Tax is lyrically is all written from Joey's perspective. I don't know about what they're doing now, but mm-hmm. I mean, it always has been. And that's, you know, just kind of the way it.
He was
felt,
the main writer,
you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think I hardly ever gave anything lyrically or even mm-hmm. tried to like, you know, show Joey, because it just didn't feel right. It never felt like it fit in with
mm-hmm.
with anything, and like I'm not like I don't think Joey and I write lyrics the same way at all, too.
I absolutely would believe that.
Yeah.
Even though you guys work well together, you're very different.
Yeah.
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 Tillian and John Mess.
Yes. Yeah, that's actually a really good analogy. That's from Dance Gavin Dance.
Oh, okay, Tillian. Mm-hmm. I was like, where do I know that
name? You
got
Tillian's just saying all these beautiful melodies, and you got John going, riding a rhino pico de gallo.
Is that an actual Dance Gavin Dance lyric?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a, I believe denial makes me hella intelligent. That's real lyrics.
I tried, side note, I tried to get into that band at one point, but I couldn't. I respect them.
They're just,
Depends on
they have a rabid fan base.
Oh yeah, and it's divided because they've had several singers. So some people are just like, I'm a Kurt Travis person, or I'm a Tillian person.
I'm a Tillian person.
Yeah. Or then the very intro was our favorite drug addict,
Johnny Curtis.
No, Craig.
Johnny Curtis. I think is a wrestler.
Johnny Craig was in Dance Gavin Dance.
He was the OG.
Oh yeah. No shit! Mm-hmm. I never knew that.
Bro, that dude only starts good bands and then he fucks it up.
The bands are better after he leaves.
In true addict fashion, he ruins things.
Oh my god.
He tried to sell me a MacBook once.
Yeah, on Instagram.
Did he?
No.
But he was selling MacBooks on Instagram.
Oh.
In quotations, selling MacBooks. Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Well, I hope he's better.
Yeah,
Probably not, though.
Yeah. Probably not.
Live your life, Johnny. You know, I'll support you.
Shit.
Just don't hurt anybody. If you want to destroy yourself, that's fine, but it's your life. Anyways.
Where was I?
I don't remember either.
You're talking about how you and Joey just write...
Differently, and I, you know, felt like this really gave me the opportunity to kind of, you know, share my personal life and like my like perspective on things, because I've never really been able to do that. And then that, like, mixed with the riffs I was just writing, I just felt like I had a lot of shit to say that I'd never said. I still have a lot of shit to say that I've never said, and. Song, you know.
That's good. It's good to be inspired like that. I want to ask, what emotion do you think inspires you to write the most?
Emotion?
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah.
Horny. Is horny an emotion? No.
Is it? I think it...
Desire? No.
You know what?
Sound
we're
off.
We're gonna go with yes. We're just gonna say it is. Horny is an absolute emotion.
I feel like to kind of like I think my songs have a more like melancholy tinge to them and a sad like filter. But I don't think I write just strictly from a place of like sadness. I think that kind of just like just simplifies it down too much. I think like I write more. From kind of like a, like, especially on this new EP, like some of it's just kind of written from like a bittersweet kind of feeling, you know,
like a nostalgia or something like that. Or?
I think kind of on the last one, that's what it was, especially with that song Pine Run. That's kind of what it was for me, is like a nostalgic feeling or a nostalgic emotion. But, on this new one, I think a lot of it's more dealing with the like negatives in my life, whether they were in the past or right now, or the negatives just around me. And I think it's just like bittersweet in the sense that like, yeah, this shit happened, but like, you know, I'm here now and I'm fine, so don't worry about it. But like also like, I hope you get better as well.
Yeah.
You know, like I hope these people around me can kind of grow and move on from past traumatic experiences. And I think there's a couple songs that deal with that. Well, the first and last track specifically on my new EP.
One of the things I'd like to talk about, so the first EP, Sawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask about the name? Are you a big Rush fan?
Huh?
Are you a big Rush fan?
No, it has nothing to do with Tom Sawyer.
Be a lot cooler if it was. Though.
Yeah, so like... A few people have asked me this before, and I just never really, like, I just kind of left it there, and then if someone asked, they'd ask, because It's so subtle, I don't really think anyone would actually get it.
Right.
But, like, one of my favorite horror movies of all time is The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original in 1974.
If you've listened to past episodes with Adam, you know
you would
that,
already know.
Yeah, you would know the lore of Adam. Mm-hmm. But, the name Sawyer on the album is actually the last name of the family, just in the original Texas Chainsaw. I think they changed it after that, and I don't know much about the franchise as a whole, because honestly, I just don't care for the rest of the movies. Right. I've seen some here and there, and I'm like, well, this is funny, this is ridiculous, or this is just downright terrible.
Yeah, you know,
the remake, what was that? It was bullshit.
What's up with that?
Can we, are remakes good? Can you name one good remake?
Evil Dead.
Evil Dead. Yeah.
Okay.
Evil Dead. That's like my favorite remake of all time as far as horror movies go.
It's
kind of a reimagining too.
Yeah.
Like, it's not necessarily like, I don't know if it is like kind of a direct sequel to everything, because they kind of make it look like it's
like it could be,
like it could have been, like that shit still could have happened in the 80s, and then Mia found this book as well. That was the main character in the new Evil Dead. Mm-hmm. Mia
and Sam Raimi still like produced that though, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he gave it his blessing. He gave it his all, and like the production of that movie is what sells it for me too.
Daddy Raimi.
Yeah. So like the name Sawyer is the last name of the Texas Chainsaw family, and there's always been a lot of theories about that movie as to like what it kind of represents, with like it like being like a post-war, like post-Vietnam kind of take on American life or trauma or whatever. But like I like to think that art is subjective in a way that even if you know what the actual person's intent was with what they were trying to say with that piece of art, you can still find meaning in yourself with it.
Exactly.
And I've always kind of resonated with the character Leatherface, because in a strange way I feel like I sometimes wear people's faces to kind of blend in with a crowd and to like, you know, not really. God. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, like that's deep.
Yeah. And the only difference is that Leatherface literally wears people's faces.
Yes.
You know,
he's a very literal.
He's a very misunderstood character who lashes out at the world if anyone tries to come near him. And so,
I think in some regards we can all relate to that.
Yeah. And so I just kind of like was like, damn, like that's low-key one of the most relatable movie characters to me, just because of how I pieced that together in my mind. And that's why I also have a song called Leatherface on there, because the lyrics like just blatantly deal with like me like wearing a face in a crowd. You know,
I think I really like that because I think that's something that a lot of people deal with, but we don't always acknowledge. Sometimes I think there's an old, I'm pretty sure I've talked about this before, like an old Japanese saying where like humans have three faces. They have the face that they wear in public, the face they wear around their family, and then the face that they are when they're alone.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I still do it to an extent. I think everyone does. I mean, not necessarily because they're trying to be fake, but more so I think we as humans kind of want to connect in a way that makes people feel comfortable.
We're absolutely social creatures.
Yeah. So I mean, like, not necessarily that like you're being fake for the sake of being fake, but you might tone down a little bit like one side of your personality just so you don't overwhelm someone.
Right. Most people, I feel like a lot of people soften their edges a little bit, and then it takes finding someone who like you really trust, and that's when you can be, oh, your best friend, that's who you're weirdest with. That's who you are, and that's
Yeah, me and Joey, 100%.
Oh, yeah, we have lots of hours recorded.
yeah, you have it on file.
So then you mentioned a new EP. What do you, if I were to...
That just released about a week ago.
About a week ago. Okay, we're not going to do that. But I'm curious, so the new EP came out 7 days ago, about a week ago.
I think, yeah. Yeah, because I released it Friday on the 17th.
What day is it now?
It's Saturday. It's been 8 days.
Okay. Oh.
So I lost track of time.
Almost 100 days.
Fuck. I don't want to freak anybody out, but did that say Tornado Watch?
Yeah, between 1 and 8.
So the whole day.
Yeah, so the rest of the day. All right. That's remember, okay. People, Tornado Watch means that the ingredients of a tornado are there.
In the air.
A tornado warning is that the cake is ready, and it's coming.
Yeah. That's good they'll hear this today, so that they're warned in time about that.
New EP that dropped 7 days ago.
Lakebed.
Lakebed? Where's that name come from? Is that...
It's a title track on the EP as well. It's the last one, but it's... I just kind of like... And like the album cover too is like taken of like me and a lake, but like it just... I kind of like realized how often I like kind of reference like some like body of like just water in general. And I think that's just kind of like a common theme with like when you reference water and shit, or like, you know, being underwater or something, it's kind of just like
sinking.
Yeah, sinking, stuff like that. Shit like that. You know, I associate that with just being overwhelmed with things and feeling like you just can't do anything, don't want to float back up, shit like that. So I just, you know, it's a little more blunt for this one. I didn't really find the next horror movie and go, okay, well, let's name this one Krueger.
Like, you know. Voorhees, Myers.
I would never name an album after Freddy Krueger. Fuck that guy.
Orphan.
Yeah, I mean,
that's actually a pretty... That would be the worst name.
He's Orphan. A great monster, but I don't know. He has a questionable backstory.
Yeah, yeah.
Chucky. Yeah.
Some pedophilic accusations.
That's in the new one, isn't it? In the reboot, he was a pedophile. I think in the old one, he just killed kids.
Yeah, which I hate to go on this limb, but that's way better than the pedophilic aspect.
Being a pedophile who kills kids. But anyway, so I would not name like an album like fucking Krueger or something. Mm-hmm. I don't care for Freddy Krueger.
So you were talking about referencing. I think it's interesting that with Joey, I had acknowledged that a lot of his writing revolves around like aggression, like rabid. Lots of biting and teeth references.
Yeah.
Yours, with this new one, and possibly even the old one, it seems more of it's like a like an introspective, almost like a melancholy thing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I reference like dreams a little bit, and I reference like, you know, water and kind of being like in Pine Run. I think I kind of talk about how I wish I was just like in a dream forever.
Mm-hmm.
So
a disassociation.
Yeah, yeah, more of like you know, if I could just sleep long enough to like let this shit pass, you know.
And then you'd like to induce a coma.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's I saw a thing on, I think it was a psychologist who was talking about this on TikTok. I know that sounds weird, but no, there are a lot of educated people on TikTok.
Granted, once you see anything that's trying to be informative, you should look it up right away.
Yes,
but
don't accept it face value.
Yeah, if it happens to be right, then you can just say, oh, "I learned this on TikTok. That's really cool," and it makes you want to do research.
Yeah,
or it should. If you just believe anything anyone says on TikTok,
don't be a boomer.
Well, if you're a boomer, you're believing anything says on,
exactly
anything anyone says on Facebook.
It's funny. It's funny that they were the ones who were like, "Don't believe what you read on the internet" when it first came around, and now they're like, "Hey, I saw it on Facebook, so it's true."
Yeah.
But
get your news from Facebook without telling me you get your news from Facebook.
But what I was saying,
I'm 54.
Was the this lady was talking about how a lot of our generation has made disassociating like an almost everyday occurrence. When we feel bad or when something stresses us out, a lot of the times we turn to these distractions. And instead of facing our problems, we use this thing to numb it out or like almost mute it until it calms down, and then we just never deal with it.
Yeah. And that's how things build up.
Yes.
And that's how things boil. All you're really doing is letting something cook in the background.
Yep.
And then eventually, I think you'll just want to
explode. The pot will overflow.
Yeah. I'm kind of dealing with that a little bit in my personal life right now, where I'm figuring out a way to let go of certain things in my past without bringing along all of the rage and possible resentment that comes with it.
Mm.
And so
that's a big task.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I mean, it goes back a lot farther in my life than it should.
Yeah.
But, you know, in short terms, I'm working it out right now, is I guess what I'm doing. And I think I'm making a good progress. I think there's just good progress being made all around mm-hmm. with this shit in my life. I don't know how far in detail I want to go into it right now.
Oh, that's fair. I don't need to expose your inner workings on here.
There is shit that kind of deals with it on this new EP, though, mm-hmm. That I had actually written before all this current shit was going on in my life. So, like, I mean, like, for instance, like
precursor stuff to the stuff you're working through now.
My new song, Bloodlines, like, kind of...
So it's a foreshadow. Did you mean to do that?
No. Mm. I released it during a week where I didn't realize I was going to have to deal with some other hard shit in my life that relates to that song.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't think that stuff ever goes away. It's always, mm-hmm. if it's not one thing, it's something else.
Yeah. But like I said, I'm working on it and I've got a great support group right now, whether it be my friends or my family, like, you know.
I got a question.
Go.
Do you ever see yourself being in an ensemble again? Or do you just think that you're just going to be solo for the rest of your music career?
I think that I would like to do maybe side projects sometimes that kind of... I've had this idea of an album
mm-hmm.
where it's just like... every track has someone featured on it in a way, whether they're singing or playing like... a special instrument or something, you know,
like those from locally
around here. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that would just be really cool.
Like I've never been excited for a Metallica record before, but I saw who's all going to be on that new one.
Mm-hmm.
Like Metallica, Chris Stapleton. That's going to be freaking cool.
What?
Miley Cyrus. Yeah, dude.
Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, it's going to be 12 songs, 53 artists. Saint Vincent.
On a fucking Metallica record?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
They've become like such icons now.
That's so funny though, because like Metallica's the reason I picked up a fucking guitar.
Yeah.
They really are. But like never would I ever see myself being on a Metallica record, but now that they're like getting people like Saint Vincent on it, it's like, oh, like I guess in theory I could be on a Metallica record.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're at a point in their...
If I was someone as popular as Saint Vincent.
Right. I think right now they're at a point where they're aware that like they're as big as it as they're gonna get. Like there's no more up to go.
So
now it's more like, hey, we know we've been an inspiration to a lot of people, and if you want to like do something, let's do it. Fuck
yeah. It's not even that like Metallica's like at their peak. It's more so they're in a different realm that most artists aren't in, where they're in where they're in this legacy circle. Like they'll just be that, like that name is just synonymous with like, I mean, just legendary status.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate lettering, but
we got Weezer, fucking Pup, Corey Taylor,
Pup's one of my favorite
Cage Elephant,
bands.
Flatbush Zombies, Volbeat,
Alessa Cara,
Portugal the Man.
What the fuck? This is a Metallica record?
Bro, yeah. Darius Rucker.
What?
Oh my God. No way. Miley Cyrus featuring Watt. Dude, that's the song I saw. Phoebe Bridgers. Miley Cyrus featuring Watt, Elton John, and Yo-Yo Ma.
I didn't even know about Pup. I didn't even see that one.
Bro.
What kind of Metallica record is this?
It's going to be madness. That's what it's going to be. But it also sounds really cool. Like,
it sounds really cool.
Look how diverse this is going to be. Bro, My Morning Jacket.
I didn't even know they were still a thing.
Me neither. Wow.
Like one song by him.
Biffy Clyro. Hell yeah. Jason Isbell. Sam Fender. Mac DeMarco. Ghost. Wow.
Okay, Ghost makes sense.
Yeah, Ghost makes sense.
Ghost makes sense.
Yeah. That actually looks... Okay.
I actually am very intrigued now.
I'm super intrigued.
That's so weird. Yeah. I am super intrigued by that.
And I like it because I know it's going to be different. It's going to be a new spice to the soup that is Metallica's.
And Metallica does, like, you know... For better or for worse, they've taken a lot of left turns in their career. Mm-hmm. So I guess this is like not surprising yet surprising at the same time. It's not surprising that like I guess they want to take another left turn mm-hmm. with something. But it is surprising the variety and just almost every single one of those artists you just told me were going to be on a Metallica record. I'd be like, you're fucking high.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're almost the opposite of what Metallica is.
Yeah, which is cool. I like
that. I really like it.
Yeah, whether it's good or bad, like, I'm just looking forward to hearing the result of it.
Yeah. Can I ask you about how long it took you to write Lakebed?
So actually I had been kind of writing for Sawyer and Lakebed at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Was it originally going to be one, like,
I did
full,
kind of
full
want
length?
It to be like not a double LP but a double EP.
Yeah.
Which is sounds like just one LP if you really think about it. But that, like, they kind of have like two different kind of sounds to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Sawyer sounds a lot more like band driven, not nearly as many like weird, like just electronic shit on it. And this other one is like quite the opposite. There's mm-hmm. like weird, like orchestral shit sometimes that you hear. Like, to me, it was like a little Bjork inspired, like Postal Service, maybe inspired mm-hmm. kind of electronics there. So yeah, I had actually been writing a lot of these songs at the same time that I was writing Sawyer, but I did have Sawyer complete a lot sooner than these other songs. So I was like, well, why don't I just save those for another EP?
Mm-hmm.
And for now, we'll just put Sawyer out as is. And like, I know that definitely almost all those songs on Sawyer I had written before all the songs on Lakebed.
Yeah.
And so I just decided to release those. I think there was one that I had not really written at all until like, till I needed a new song to put on Sawyer that I was like, we're going to replace this with this one. I'm always like replacing songs. And like, mm-hmm. even for the third EP I'm working on already, like at home, like I've already like changed around tracks so much as to like, fuck, like what am I going to put on this next one?
Mm-hmm. What do you think? I don't know if this is going to have an answer or not, but I'm just curious. So seeing that the EPs are different, sound different, what do you think was like the catalyst to change up the sound a little bit? Was it strictly just a creative, like, oh, I want to try this? Or what do you think there was something that...
Yeah, I mean, like, I never want to limit myself to one sound
mm-hmm.
or one thing, I guess. I never want to be pushed in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
As to like one specific sound, like everything on Sawyer is kind of like live band stuff, but like I feel like I would just write myself in the corner ripping off, like, I mean, that a lot of those songs were just inspired by like Boy Genius, mm-hmm. the side project of Phoebe Bridgers and Julian Baker and Lucy Dacus. Like, some of that stuff was just like inspired some shit on Sawyer.
Yeah.
And I didn't want like the rest of my shit to just be that same kind of style.
Yeah.
I don't think it ever will be. I mean, you know, once I have more money in the bank, like I plan to buy more things and experiment with more instruments mm-hmm. and, you know.
Anyone who's ever seen you perform live knows that you like toys.
I do. That sounds very...
That's a weird way of saying things.
Well, we like to be suggestive here on the
I've
Change
played with
podcast.
Many toys during my shows, Chris.
'Tis the season for pleasing.
Yeah.
But no, the toys Chris is referring to are the pedals on my pedal board.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I do have a lot of weird... Or I have fucked with a lot of weird... noise makers in the past. I mean, I still have most of my pedal board intact from Lizards. I don't think I have hardly anything that's not from Lizards that I didn't keep.
Because,
mm-hmm. I mean, I always wanted a pedal board that is versatile, that could, like, make sounds for Lizards as well as make sounds for the, you know, solo stuff that I'm working on right now, mm-hmm. which, I mean, that's kind of... At one point, I did plan on doing my solo stuff and Lizards at the same time, mm-hmm. and I was like, well... keep a pedal board that can do both.
Right.
You know who has a great pedal board? Tash Sultana.
From...
So we have a little rule here about making up words.
Just silhouette.
Who?
Tash Sultana. Sultana. Oh, Sam got me into them.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
What else can I muster up? Curiosity.
What else can you catch up up?
I can't.
Honey mustard up. Oh my god. He's wheezing again.
Jimmy's mom.
I'm really hungry.
I had Culver's on the way here.
I kind of hate the name. They call them the concrete mixers.
I don't like that either.
I don't know. Like, blizzards are good. Like, I get it because it's called concrete. It's like, makes me think I want to eat concrete.
Here's your concrete. Eat it fast or else it's going to drop in your mouth.
Here's your concrete. It's either going to make you poop a lot or not at all. Adam, thank you so much for coming down here today. I know you made quite the trip. And he ran all the way here.
I don't know. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, it's from Hey Arnold.
Somebody call Helga to punch Adam in the face.
Literally.
At first I thought you were going to start doing the one guy from Malcolm Middle. Hey, Malcolm, where can we find you and follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram. It should be just at Adam Araki. If there's another Adam Araki on this earth, I'll kill him because I'm pretty sure I'm the only one.
I'll kill him.
I loved how direct and just like matter of fact you said that.
No hesitation, no pause.
If there's another one, I'll kill him. I loved that.
It's Adam.Araki.
A-R-A-Q-U-E?
A-R-A-Q-U-E. Erake?
A-R-A-Q-N-on.
Adam Araki.
Jesus. Don't go there. And that's how it is on Twitter, Facebook. You can just add me.
And all the streaming services where they can find
all the streaming services.
Sawyer and Lakebed.
That's where you'll find Sawyer and Lakebed on Spotify, Apple Music, Bandcamp. We got some new merch up there. Ooh. I have the shirts coming in soon for that and the CDs as well.
I have one more question.
Yes.
If you were to describe your music to someone who's never listened to music before, how would you do it?
I don't know. I would just say, here's the soundtrack to someone dealing with it. There Not necessarily
go.
Going through it, but dealing with it.
I like that. I like you that. Know? If ever there were a shirt right there.
Dealing with it.
Just dealing with it.
Just
That's
dealing
also.
With it.
Just dealing.
Just dealing.
Secret ingredient is?
Crime.
That's right. Oh, what was it that Joey said? Oh, the feeling of, what was it, watching a car crash or something like that?
Yeah.
Speaking of Joey. The Death Tax vinyl is now up for pre-order.
It is.
That it is. I ordered one, and shipping was just as much as a record. I added a note. I said, inside the box, please write a very Canadian joke. If not, I will be very disappointed. If I don't get a Canadian jokes, Wormwood, I'm coming for you, bro. I know you're a single-man operation.
Adam is coming for everybody else named Adam Araki. Chris is coming for the country of Canada. You can find us on our Facebook and Instagram pages, Toon Junkies Podcast. Our Twitter is Toon Junkies Pod. My personal Twitter is Make Dameron Sure, and my personal Instagram is pulp.niction. Also, I'm on TikTok as the old Nick Twist.
The Nick Twist.
The old Nick
I'm on TikTok as well. Oh my God.
Yeah, plug your TikTok.
Just Adam Araki. I got a decent following on there because I once played Blindfold Guitar Hero. It was fucking dumb.
That's so crazy, though.
But I'm here.
Yeah, that got deleted by Herman Lee.
It did. Yeah. Herman Lee. Yeah, we're friends now. I could hit him up right now, and he'd be like, who is this? How'd you get this number?
That's how close we are.
Yeah.
If you would like to reach me, you can leave me alone. But if you must be involved with my life, you can follow me on Instagram at Chris N. Kitty, or you can find me on TikTok at DatBoyPit6.
Let's talk about what we're listening to. Isn't that usually what you guys do at the end of these?
Getting to Adam.
Oh, well, shit.
What have you been listening to, man?
What have I been listening to?
Yeah.
Tyler, the Creator, just dropped a new album. He gave like a week's notice and was like, here's a whole ass new album. And I love it. I love it so much. I've also been listening to the new Poppy EP.
I love Poppy. Poppy makes me drop my weapon.
That
Did you hear the NFT soundtrack? It's like for some wrestling thing, I think.
NXT.
NXT.
Yeah,
yeah I'm
Poppy
sorry.
Does
NFT.
A lot of like live performances.
Isn't NFT
for them?
The like art thing?
Yeah, that costs
okay.
like
let's
a million
not,
dollars.
Let's not get into that.
I fucking hate that so much.
But the Eat NXT soundtrack, she goes way harder than she ever had to on anything. Like she screams for most of it. I couldn't.
Really?
Like yeah, I was really surprised. There's like straight up. Like a Gojira riff on this fucking thing.
Really?
I swear to God.
So my main contention with Poppy is that I didn't like her like her clean vocals, mm-hmm. but I like the actual instruments of the band.
Yeah.
And if she's just doing hard vocals, I'll fucking check it out.
For the most part, yeah. I would say about like 70% of the time, she's like screaming her fucking brains out.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Yeah. And she, like, I don't know, dude. I don't know what the fuck made her do that, but I'm here for it.
All right.
She must be a wrestling fan because she's been on NXT at least 3 times.
Has she?
Yeah, doing That's live sick. Performances.
I mean, either she is or it gives her a lot of exposure and she gets a lot of bumps and or money from it, which I'm sure it could be a combination of the three.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw Code Orange on NXT once.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was kind of a big deal. I'm trying to look at, like, what else I've been listening to because I have...
If you use Spotify, you could go to your on repeat in the made for you section, and it'll tell That's you what right. you've been listening to a lot of.
The new Brockhampton album. I'm really into that. Devil Wears Prada did a Zombie EP too, which was surprisingly like pretty tight.
Yeah.
I'm always listening to Death Grips because I go to the gym. and Clipping. I love Clipping. The rap group. Let's see. I have just begun to like start getting into car seat headrest, which is like a 2010s alt rock band. Mm-hmm.
They kind of the name.
Yeah, they kind of remind me of like the Strokes, kind of.
Okay.
So, the singer of it sounds like, is it Julian Casablancas? Is his name?
Yeah.
Of the Strokes. Yeah, he kind of sounds like that guy.
All right. Hell yeah.
Charlie XCX.
Hell
love
yeah.
Love her. Yeah, that's basically it.
Nice.
Let's see. Ed Sheeran came out with a new song called Bad Habits. It's pretty good. Olivia Rodrigo.
I still haven't listened to that album yet. I heard Good For You, and I was like, this hits. This hits pretty hard, yeah.
Pup. That was like the first one on my...
Nice.
Tash Sultana. I've been catching up with Lenore. They had a great show last night with the new vocalist.
Word.
Some Coheed and Cambria, the new Tyler album.
It's so good.
NWA.
Nice.
My Neighbors with Attitude. I like them.
Yeah. Tones and I, Run DMC, The White Stripes, the soundtrack from Baby Driver, Whitney Houston. Got want to fight about it?
There's no toxic masculinity in this room, okay? Pop off.
Lysergic. Ooh. I got a whole Rob Thomas section.
Oh, fuck.
So actually, a little bit of Cypress Hill.
Nice.
Sick.
And a little bit of Tillian.
I think my favorite Cypress Hill song was definitely influenced. Like, I was aware of Cypress Hill, like, Insane in the Membrane. I know that song.
Insane
but
in the Brain.
One of the songs that got me, that TikTok sold me a Cypress Hill song, and it's Illusions. I have been listening to Greta Van Fleet. I listened to the new album.
I didn't even know they released a new album.
I don't think anyone did. So this is all I'm going to say. I know a lot of people hated on them because their From the Fires album or EP, whatever you want to call it, was very reminiscent of Led Zeppelin. I thought it was really amazing. But agreed. And then the second album they did, which was... Anthem of the Peaceful Army, I thought was watered down because it wasn't as energetic as Led Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm.
But this new album, I think they're really leaning into kind of straying away from that Zeppelin sound.
That's
it's
good.
It's more
their box.
It's more big sounding. It's not so. I mean, it's still rock and roll, but it's not rock and roll like From the Fires was. If you don't despise Greta Van Fleet that much yet, I would definitely check out The Battle at Garden's Gate, their new album. It's pretty good.
Anything else?
Yeah, that was just one.
Okay.
Kacey Musgraves. I stand for that girl right now.
And I just listened to that album again this week.
Bro, I've been listening nonstop.
It's amazing.
The Curse Within. Shout out to those boys. Found them on TikTok. Census, another band that I found on TikTok.
Sick.
Sandglass, and then the Dark Knight's death metal soundtrack I've been
Fuck
checking
yeah,
out.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, so what song do you want to close out with today?
Probably Bloodlines.
Bloodlines?
Just because that's the one that has a music video out, so you should probably give that a little Checkaroonie on the
go peep that time
on
out.
on the YouTube as well.
Check that out and show it to your mother.
Yeah, stream it on Spotify or Apple Music. Show that to your mother as well. Tell your mother to get some friends and show those friends that she made.
If you go to any department store that has computers of any kind, open up Spotify, play the track, and then minimize the tab so it just plays on repeat.
Yes.
Yeah. Would you like to tell us? I think we dabbled into it a little bit during the show, but would you like to tell us a little bit about Bloodlines before we close out?
Yeah. So that one, blatantly, not blatantly, but I'm just going to be kind of real. Like, that's about my estranged relationship I've kind of had with my dad off and on over the years. And it's just me being completely honest, not in like a angry way, just how I feel about all of it.
Transparent.
Yeah.
Transparency makes for good music.
Absolutely. But yeah, so that's what that one's about.
Hell yeah.
Well, buddy, thank you again so much for coming by. It's so good to see you again.
That's really good to see
you guys. You're glowing. Mm-hmm. You're glowing. You really
thank
are.
You.
I like that shirt, by the way.
Well, enjoy Bloodlines by Adam Araki. This has been a Tune Junkies podcast. My name is Nick.
My name is Chris.
My name is Adam.
Ah, now watch this drive. First and only son. All right, before we get started, I gotta tell this story.
Go ahead.
I recently moved into my own first apartment, and thank you. And one of the first things I did when I got groceries, I picked up like some Kool-Aid packets. I was like real excited to
get them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I haven't had blue Kool-Aid since I was a kid.
Blue? Okay, and we're going to hold on to that. Continue.
Well, I got other ones, too.
Okay.
And so I get home. I was like, oh, God, I don't even have a pitcher. I don't have sugar. So I kind of put that off. And a couple days ago, I went grocery shopping, and I got a gallon pitcher, and I got some sugar. And so I go home all excited. Fill up the Brita, put that, then pour into the gallon pitcher,
mm-hmm.
put the Kool-Aid packet in over my sugar, and boom, here comes a big-ass wad of flour. I bought flour instead of sugar.
Wait, you bought flour?
Yeah.
So, chunky Kool-Aid's on the menu.
Oh, that's fucking
dope. Did you drink it?
No, fuck no, fuck no.
Coward.
You could have just invented something.
You should wait. Do you still have it, or did you dump it out?
Oh, I dumped it.
You almost started to make a Kool-Aid cake.
What do you think? I like? Yes. What, Chris? Do you think I looked at it like sighed and just threw it in the fridge?
I mean, I honestly, yeah, I would have acknowledged my fuck up, but I would have tasted it to be like, what happens when you add flour instead of sugar?
My expression was like, remember like Peter breastfed Stew, and he's like. That was me.
You didn't even taste it.
No, when the flour came out, I was like, and I look, because I'm looking at the, it's this flour.
Oh, what have I done?
He pulls the hair out of his mouth.
Oh, God. I remember that.
Tragic.
That's trauma right there.